Well, a big thank you for the Connect Groups, really, because every girl that we've had that have came to Connect Groups in Mintlaugh Church have been blessed. They felt very much part of your family here. And even this week, we had a visit for three lovely ladies to the centre who came with a card and flowers to one of our residents that has lost her mum this week. And that's the family of God at work. As the family, and she was almost, I hope you felt welcomed by staff, because she was almost like she didn't know how to react to that, because there no used to be folk loving on them in the same way as we sometimes are. But boy, was she chuffed. Everybody that has been into the centre doors since then has seen that card. So it was meant so much to her, and the flowers, and the. So sometimes you can seem awkward at the time, but boy, is it appreciated. So thank you for that. And as Stuart says, I've been in Benaiah working for 10 years, but I'm not going to speak much about Benaiah today, because I really believe that the Lord gave my word in my heart when I was thinking about coming here today. So I'm going to speak to you about waking up. One of the things I do in Benaiah when I'm on a sleepover is at 7:15 in the morning, you have to waken the house up. You get everybody up and going, because nobody lies in their bed forever in Benaiah, even if somebody's newly in. They are up and getting going for the day. There's horses to be mucked out and to be fed. There is houses to be cleaned and lunch to be made. And the grass is to be cut. It's all done by the residents not there. So there's nobody lolling about doing nothing in Benaiah. Everybody is up and on the go and getting on with things. And it's really part of the program. It's not just that I like to be a bit cruel to folk in the winter time at 7:15 in the morning. It's that we want these girls from the Leave Our Centre to be employable. And if you lie in your bed until dinner time, you are not employable. You are not going to be able to go out and get other benefits and get a living in that for yourself. And that's what we're really trying to motivate the girls to, that there is something better for them, and that they have got skills, they have got gifts that God has given them, and the world needs those skills and the world needs those gifts. So we encourage them to get up, out their beds and get going in the morning. So if ever staff member is on, they do the wake-up call for your gun room, the rooms and your... Come on, time to get up, or it's 7:15, or Anna behind the phone, if you can have, she sings, Coo-yoo, and then sings a wee bit of a song. As she goes, I can just imagine how well that's received with somebody just coming off of drugs, but hey, she seems to get what we get, and she coo-yoos and sings, and we get them up in the morning. And the world that we live in the day, we've kind of became a bit obsessed with sleep, haven't we? And sleep is good for us. In the natural, sleep is very good for us. Some folk track it on their watches, Fitbits. Ken, if we go to doctor, one of the questions he always asks is, are we sleeping? How much sleep are we getting? Magazine articles, books have been written on it, and we chat about it. If you didn't sleep well, you go into your work the next day and think, oh, but a night's sleep I didn't have last night. I saw 2 o'clock, I saw 3 o'clock, and we speak about it. And in a natural sense, sleeping well and sleeping sound is a very good thing. But in the spiritual sense, not quite so good. Not quite so good to be sleeping. There are a few times in the Bible, in Luke 9:32, the disciples were in the Mount of the Transfiguration, Peter, James, and John, and they nearly missed it. Can you imagine? They nearly missed it because they were sleeping. The Garden of Gethsemane, when Jesus was with them, just hours before he was betrayed and he was taken away from them, he asked them to be alert and to keep watch. And when he was praying, he looked round and they were all sleeping. And I suppose if I was to ask you a question this morning, it would be spiritually, are you asleep or are you wide awake? See, if we're sleeping, we're not fully aware of what God is doing. We're not fully aware of the needs round about us when we're sleeping. We're not so alert to the enemy's schemes when we're sleeping. We didn't feed ourselves when we're sleeping. We're not even so sensitive to the Holy Spirit when we're sleeping. And there's a verse in Ephesians 5, verse 14, that I want to focus on a wee bit the day. And it says, "For the light makes everything visible. That is why it is said, 'Awake, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you.'" Do you want Christ to shine in you this afternoon? Do you want to be glowing with that glow that can just come from the Holy Spirit? That glow that can just come for being in the presence of God? I want you to go out of the church the day and after your time of worship and being under the word of God to have something about you that makes you look wide awake and a glow of this being in the presence of God with you. So it's just three things in the natural. Some nights I can sleep, some nights didn't sleep quite so well. My husband, for you see him of the day, he is a very good sleeper. I mean, he is one of them that speak about people being able to sleep on a washing line. That would be him. And gave birth to a son that is just like him. David was little. David went to the Crimond unit for a while, so he used to travel for the Broch to Crimond. He'd been a good sleeper as a baby, kept thinking, "Oh, wouldn't it be so good once he gets a bit older?" The taxi driver used to say that lots of kids used to sleep on their way home for the school, but David was the only child that every day slept on his way to the school. And that was after 12 years sleep. And I remember once being on holiday, and we were travelling round in the car, and was going round this lake that went into three different countries. David slept all through Austria. He has been in Austria, but does he care what it looks like? Didn't he eat anything there when we stopped for a picnic? Because he slept through Austria. And even yet, he's on the rigs, and a mining settler one day, I'd been speaking to somebody in my work, and they really didn't like the helicopter rides and that you have to do if you're out there in the rigs. I said, "David, do you like the helicopter?" He says, "I think so." He says, "I just go and fasten up all my stuff and away I go. I just sleep, and one of the lads gives me a poke for it. Is that safe even as his mom? Is that a safe thing to do?" I'm not sure. But we don't want to be like that in the spiritual sense. We want to be alert and we want to be awake. If it's going so on. So I thought the day I would look at three things that stop me from sleeping and see if we can take that from the natural into the spiritual in our lives. So I find it difficult to sleep if I'm uncomfortable. Are you like Atlanta? Are you somebody who just puts down their head and sleeps for hours? No. If I'm uncomfy, I find it difficult to get to sleep. So if the room's too hot, I find it difficult. Somebody else like that. I find it difficult to sleep. Doesn't seem bother John hate Carlton. Martin knows. I can have a love-hate relationship with pillows. See if I'm a boy in a hotel or on a thing. It's not like my end pillow. That can put me wrong. If I'm uncomfortable, I dinna find it easy to sleep. And sometimes in the spiritual, we're relying more on God when we're uncomfortable. And it stops, makes us more spiritually awake when we're uncomfortable, when we're going through illness, when we're going through troubles in our time, in our lives. Trials and troubles can seem to take us from comfort to discomfort. But spiritually, I don't care about you, but when I'm going through trials, my prayer life goes, whoop, nobody else the same. I rely more on God when I'm uncomfortable. I am more spiritually aware, more spiritually awake when I'm uncomfortable. You might be sitting here today and they used to come into a service like that and you might be feeling uncomfortable because the Holy Spirit can make us feel uncomfortable, can't he? The Holy Spirit, it says in John 16, verses 8 and 9, when he comes, he will convict the world of its sin and of God's righteousness and of the coming judgment. The world's sin is that it refuses to believe in me. See, the Holy Spirit, when it comes, it convicts us. Oh, we're sinning. If you're a Christian here today, you'll maybe remember back to the time that you became a Christian. And I didn't care about anybody else here, but my heart was beating. I was only 10 and my heart was beating. And I was sitting in a service on a Sunday night feeling really uncomfortable. I was only 10. But that feeling was there because that's what the Holy Spirit had done. Because spiritually, I was being awakened. Spiritually, I was changing spiritually. I was coming to a place where I received Christ as my Saviour. And if you're in that place today, the same God that I reached out to when I was 10, 40-some years ago, is the same God that we need to reach out to. Today, you see, I needed a Saviour just as much as the girls in my centre needed a Saviour. It's not something that comes with what you do in life. And the Holy Spirit, when he comes, he convicts us of our sins. And we can feel uncomfortable. And I'm happy to say the Holy Spirit's made me feel uncomfortable at times, many times since. And that's been a good thing for my spiritual growth because it keeps us alert. It keeps us awake to what God can do in our lives. We pray more in the valley than we pray in the mountaintop. And sometimes as Christians, you might not like us, but sometimes we've got to apply a bit of discomfort to our lives. I don't care if you've spoken about fasting at all in your life groups, but fasting is applying discomfort to your life. And if I'm fasting about something, I am a lot more spiritually aware. I am a lot more leaning into God as I pray because I'm denying myself something. I'm a lot more sensitive to the Holy Spirit. And it's because you're applying discomfort to your life. Doing something, stepping out your comfort zone. And that is different for every one of us. That can be sharing your faith with somebody for the first time. That's stepping out of the comfort zone. Doesn't feel good, but it brings you closer to God and it makes you more awake. It can be lifting your hands in a service when you've never done it before. It can be praying out loud in your life group when you've never done it before. Applying discomfort to your life. Saying yes to Stuart if he asks you to do something can be stepping out of your comfort zone. Ken, Joshua 1, verse 9 says, this is my command. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. See, he's not just the God of the comfort zone. He's the God when we step out and do something as well. And sometimes that's when we see his power, when we receive his strength, when we grow more than we do when nothing is just gone smooth. See, when we're asleep, we can dream when we're asleep. They say, experts would say we are dreaming. Now, I didn't mind half a mind if that's the case. But they say when you're asleep that you dream most nights. But if you want to make your dreams and the dreams God's planted into you a reality, then we need to wake up. We need to step out of that comfortable bed. And we need to mark those dreams a reality in our life. It's no good in the spiritual to be too comfortable because then we can go to sleep and we can think, I'm just coasting along here and I didn't need God. I can go on my own strength and God never meant it to be like that. Be strong, courageous. Don't be afraid. Don't be discouraged because the Lord our God is with us forever. We set our feet. Another thing that can stop me from sleeping is light. Is somebody else like that? Can you sleep while the light's on? Aye, he's the same. He sleeps. So I sleep with all the lights on, Ken Blackpool illuminations, and his sound door. How can you even do that? For I'm like one of them that is pulling peeps in the curtains, and Ken, because there's a bit of light, the street light is just right outside our bedroom window. And sometimes if my curtains or the blinds isn't the right shot, it come in. I'm lying in my bed and I feel it in my face, and I've just got to get up and sort it off. Because I didn't like it to be too much light, because that can keep me awake. In fact, our daughter, when she got married, she got an alarm clock, and it doesn't ring or anything like that, doesn't play music or nothing. It just half an hour before the time that you start to set it, it just gets lighter every 5 minutes until it gets to the time. So you set it for 7 o'clock, 6:30, it would just put out a bit of light. And 25 to 7, a bit more light till it's 7 o'clock. It's like a bright light on. And seemingly, it's supposed to be better for you walking and up like that. And again, I'm not convinced. But I am convinced, though, that Jesus, the light of the world, is far I need to stay close to. And the closer I am to Jesus, the more I am in his light, the more I am awake, the more I am alert, the more I'm going in Christ, the more I'm willing to step out my comfort zone, the more I'm willing to speak out for him. In John 8:12, it says, Jesus spoke to the people once more and said, I am the light of the world. If you follow me, you won't have to walk in darkness, because you will have the light that leads to life. Do you have the light that leads to life this afternoon? David says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? When we invite Jesus into our life, he brings his light with us. And we don't need to dwell in darkness only we are. When we invite him into our lives that first time, it wakes us up. And that's one of the things that I see in the centre in a really miraculous kind of way. Because once the girls are coming off of substances not on, and especially if they're getting a hold of God and that in their life, there's life comes back into their eyes. It's like a light has been switched on within them. And it's amazing, amazing, amazing to see it. And one of the lassies, in fact, we've just employed her as a support worker, came through the program a couple of years ago, and her favorite verse was, awake, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine in you. And every time she gave her testimony, she mentioned that verse, because she knew that she was dead, she looked dead, she acted dead, but the minute that she received Christ into her life, she woke up and she felt a different person. And she is living out that walk and living out that life with God by our side today. See, that Jesus is the light of the world. So the more we spend time in his light, the more we spend time in his presence, the more spiritually awake we become. There's a song that we sing sometimes in church, and it says, your love is greater, your love is stronger, your love awakens, awakens, awakens me. And it would be my testimony today, because the more that I focus on God's love, the more we read our Bible, the more we drench Michelle in God, the more we worship him, the more we stand and pray to him, and our personal relationship with him gets stronger in our lives, the more we feel revived, the more we feel restored, and the more that we grow in our lives. See, this time of year, every one of us in our house has to use artificial light, haven't we? We go in at night and we have to put the lights and nothing on. It's very different for the fine, bright summer nights. And I want to just challenge you this afternoon. Are you using the Lord as your light, or have you got artificial things that you are reaching out to bring some light into your life? See, I used to look out at Benaiah when we got that house 10 years ago. I would have looked out, and apart from the village of Stuartfield and the mall and that, in the distance, I couldn't see any more light. But now there's lights up and down our lane, as there's been houses and that built there. And that houses, that lights are a sign of life. They're a sign of people and that there. And if we are reaching out to artificial things to lighten up our life, they wouldn't last for no time at all. They'll just be like a bulb that's there and then out and we're left in darkness again. In no time, for if we reach out to Jesus, the light of the world, and we spend time with him, then we will be like a city of the hill, on a hill, and we will be that light. When folk look at us, they will see Jesus, and they will see the life that Jesus brings to every single one of us. 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 5 and 6 says, "For you are all children of the light and of the day." We don't belong in darkness. Praise the Lord, we don't belong in darkness, but be on your guard. Do not sleep like the others. Stay alert and be clear-headed. We need to be awake to the enemy's schemes in our life. There's a verse as well in Proverbs 24 that says, "I walked by the field of a lazy person, the vineyard of one with no common sense. I saw that it was overgrown with nettles, it was covered with weeds, and its walls were broken down. Then as I looked and thought about it, I learned this lesson." We need to learn this lesson. A little extra sleep, a little more slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, then poverty will pounce on you like a bandit and scarcity will attack you like an armed robber. See, we are an awful lot more susceptible to the schemes and the temptations of the enemy when we are not spiritually awake. But if we dwell in the light of the world and in his presence, then we are awakened and alert to everything that's going on. And the last thing that can keep me awake, I don't know if anybody else is like that, I know, it's if a need can keep me awake. So see, if my alarm normally gets off at 7 o'clock, but see if I'm doing something, even something good, like going on holiday, and I have to set my alarm earlier. Is somebody else like us? If you have to get up like at 5 or something, instead of walking in 2 hours earlier, you end up not getting sleep at all. Somebody else like that? Or you walk in at 2 o'clock, like bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, and think, oh, 3 hours, I'm going to be shattered by the end of the day. Because a need can keep us awake. And I think it's the same spiritually. Because I can, since I've gone to Benaiah, and I've become more aware of the needs of others, and I've become more aware of the hurts and the broken people that are out there. I think spiritually myself, I've been more awake. And I think if you have eyes to see what God sees, and ears to hear a cry of the lost in your life, then that's good for your soul spiritually as well. A few weeks ago, I was just finished schools when newly back. I was in the beach cafe in Ebroch. I was meeting a friend there, and I'd spoken to us two ladies when I had gone in, and I was just sitting waiting for my chum to come, and this woman's daughter and our wee granddaughter came in, and the granny says, "Oh, here she goes, the walking wounded." And it was not after she said it that I noticed if we need a bandage on our leg. And I kind of laughed because I hadn't heard the expression, the walking wounded, for a long time. But it was probably an expression my own granny would have used to describe me from time to time. And I met my chum, it was Kathleen Hepburn, remember her? It was Kathleen I was meeting that I used to work with at school. And met Kathleen, she got back to school after lunchtime. And I went to Tesco's to stock up because it was my day off. And I was going round Tesco's, and I just really felt the Holy Spirit just speaking to me. How many people, Grace, here are the walking wounded? How many folk are hurting? How many folk are broken? How many folk are grieving? and we didn't see it. And they've no way to go with how they're feeling. See, the more spiritually awake we are, the more needs in that we see. And the more needs in that we see, the more awake and reliant in God we are. A few years ago, I was staying at a cul-de-sac, right up at the top of a cul-de-sac. And I was one morning, just maybe about 10, 11 o'clock, that there was a knock on the door, and John went to answer the door, and it was a policeman. And he says, "Oh, Ken, I wondered if one of you could give statements and if it happened during the night." And John says, "If it happened during the night?" And it turned out that a car had come up with cul-de-sac, thinking it was on a straight-through road. It had gone and hit the wa of the house at the top of the cul-de-sac. It spun round and hit my neighbour's wa on both sides, wasn't it? So the dike at the top of the street was doing, the house next to ours at that side. So our bedrooms are at the front of the house. Not a clue. Not a clue. But as we spoke to the neighbours not that day, some of them had been out helping. Some of them had been looking out their windows, making sure nothing was okay, that us people were all right. I think, I'm ashamed to say, we were the only house that was no movement in whatsoever. I'm a qualified first aider. John's a qualified first aider. David's a qualified first aider. But we're all sound asleep and unaware of the needs just outside. A bit sad, really, because we would have all had the heart to help, but we were all sound asleep, and we need to make sure spiritually that the community round about Mintland, Bohan and Ebrock, wherever you stay at, is now dying before us, and we are sound asleep, unable to help. For the light makes everything visible. That's why it says, "Awake, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." Our community needs us. Need to be sleeping. Need to be Christians, just quite happy singing and worshipping on a Sunday and going on with our lives, need telling our faith the rest of the week. But God wants us, and our community needs us, to be relying on Him, to be full of His light, to be living lives for we're not scared to step out our comfort zone for the sake of the walking wounded and the hurting round about us.